Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. In this episode, we will feature a discussion of the first chapter of the book, The Patient Ferment of the Early Church.
Thank you, Ryan, for sitting down to talk with me about the patient ferment of the early church. Now, I just have a couple questions I'd love to ask you as a way of introduction. So, Ryan, the patient ferment of the early church, this is definitely not like a New York Times bestseller. I actually had never heard about the book before you mentioned it. Where did you hear about it, and what captivated you in this book, made you want us to read it as a church?
The philosopher from Calvin College, James K.A. Smith, was giving the talks at our clergy retreat, and I think he referenced this book in passing, and it got lodged in my mind. And then I had another friend message me on Facebook and told me he thought I'd really like this book, so that's how I picked it up. But this book is phenomenal because it articulates a story that is not often told about the church and about the early church specifically. And I think maybe at a bigger picture level, one of the realizations that I've had about planting a church in San Francisco is that we are in so many ways in a parallel setting to the early church. We're in what we call a post-Christian culture. Now, they were in a pre-Christian culture, so there's obviously some differences there. But the idea of being a creative minority group within a cultural setting is not new. And that's happens all around the world, even presently, but is becoming the reality in a place like San Francisco. So to be able to understand how did the church flourish in a setting like this, I think it's so helpful. And this book, what it does is it basically covers kind of from the earliest church up until the time of Constantine and just beyond that. What did the church look like? How did they practice being church? How did they think of themselves? And it does it in a way that is very accessible, which I love. It's academic. I mean, the guy is a Harvard-trained historian. He's an Anabaptist, so he's not from the liturgical traditions or the great traditions that I usually have been listening to, but he has a great respect for those traditions and has really interesting perspectives on that. So it's really well written. It's a great book.
And unlike many scholars and stuff, he is actually also a missionary. Mm-hmm. So he actually has some skin in the game. Is like very close to his heart.
Very much so. And you get that. He admits that in the very beginning of the book where he says, hey, I'm not doing purely unbiased history here. This is coming out of a particular cultural context. And he has a real heart for ministry and mission. And I think he wrote the book for people like us.
Yeah. I like how the subtitle or whatever the tagline or whatever the book is, The Improbable Rise of Christianity in the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. I think you touched on that a bit, like how improbable it was for the church to grow in the Roman Empire. And I think being in San Francisco, I mean, it's very improbable for a church plant to actually flourish or grow, or for a church to really grow in a place that's so culturally different and seem to have such polar opposite values.
Yeah, and here's part of the thing he emphasizes. If you're really going to be thoroughly Christian, which is how the early church did their mission, then you're going to be marginalized in some ways. You're going to be seen, there's some real strong social disincentives to being Christian. And I think we feel that. There are ways that you can accommodate yourself to culture and be more accepted in the mainstream, but that wasn't what the early church did. The early church focused on nurturing and cultivating a very thick and deep notion of what it meant to be the people of God, to be Christians. And we want to do the same thing here. And so I think there's, again, a lot of parallels there that are helpful for us.
So it talks about in the first chapter the rise of Christianity in the first couple of centuries, how it's improbable and how they did it. So what was their secret sauce? Like, what program did they lock into? What mission strategy did they have that... what was their church growth strategy, I think, that was behind this improbable, against all odds, rise of early Christianity?
I think that's what is so striking about this book, is that he says that the early church did not think that way at all. They were surprisingly uninterested, or at least there's nothing really written about missionary strategies and programs and things like that. Rather, what they were was they were patient. So patience was the secret sauce, actually. Endurance, just being the people of God and learning how to be thoroughly rooted as those people in a place, even if that meant that it was only 8 or 10 people for a long time, learning how to actually practice the way of Jesus and live in communion with Christ. That was their secret sauce, was Jesus and the Holy Spirit and being together as a community. So even things like, there's a lot of things that seem counterintuitive to us. They didn't do street evangelism. They didn't do strategic outreaches. Their worship services were, for the most part, they were closed experiences. So outsiders didn't even get to see what was going on at worship services.
So as a deacon, I'd be like the bouncer, right? Yeah. Like I was keeping...
Literally, the deacons are at the door, and they were checking people to be like, oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't come in today, you know? Yeah. Or at a certain point in the service, you need to leave. So it was very... it's funny because nowadays we have bouncers at clubs. You keep people out of clubs, but we say, hey, anybody can come to church any time. And here, you know, we in a sense, using the words of Jesus, we toss our pearls before swine, or we don't care. We're undiscerning. We just throw out whatever we're doing, and we're hoping that we'll get more and more people in. And we're kind of needy. We're kind of desperate for people's approval. And I think the early church was exactly the opposite of that, where they were quietly confident in who they were and what they were doing. And that actually, the secret sauce then was that Christians were actually transformed people, and their community was a different kind of community than you could find anywhere in Greco-Roman society. And that was what made them so attractive, was that they did all these things that no other community could do because of the fact that they were truly and thoroughly Christian. And I think in our case, we're so quick to slap the label Christian on a person or on a group, that we have this kind of scandal that we're not actually what we say we are. Mm. So the early church worked really hard to prevent that. So this book is about how did that happen, and it tells the story, and it goes through. It's a little academic at times. There's quite a bit of primary source reference of the writings of the early church. So if you're not familiar with any of that, it's a little bit of a stretch. But for someone who has a basic concept of what's going on with the early church, it's very accessible.
I think the thing that I found so scandalous and provocative in the chapter, the first opening chapter, is that it does focus so much on patience. And patience is almost like a four-letter word in most missions and church planning or churches around. Like, we're not patient people. We want to be doing something.
Let's get out and get them done. Yeah.
Tell me the program, the steps to make this program to crank out results.
So I can put results in my newsletter and get more funding so I can stay out here in the field. And I'm not trying to be cynical, but I think there's really an addiction to results. And results look like, hey, we brought X number of people to Jesus, as though that kind of quickly happens overnight. And this book is really saying, it's telling the story of the early church and saying, no, it's a much more slow and patient process, and we need to be ready for that.
I was just talking to a close friend about missions overseas. And as you know, I spent over a decade in Asia, and my friend has as well, and was preparing to go back. And we were talking before he headed on a plane back to Asia, and he was lamenting with me before I even talked about the Patient Ferment book about how impatient missions is. And there's this abiding sense of anxiety, and there's this sense of like not almost trusting God to be God, to be the one that saves, that it's our anxiety or busyness that saves. And he was just going like, he's like, hey, I've been there long enough to know that really what's going to change a nation and a culture and even a family or our own hearts is just slow obedience. It's, you know, I think Eugene Peterson says a long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah.
It's this true transformation, and you don't see it because, you know, the church in many places is a mile wide and an inch deep. Because of that, it doesn't have the legs to endure. And so that's the part that I found so scandalous and so anti-missions or anti-missiology, but pro-mission. Like it seems that missions was just a natural byproduct of people being truly transformed by the gospel.
Yeah.
And
maybe another thing is that mission or missions is not something that is like a special program that goes out beyond the church. Mission is seen as ecclesial or church-centric in what they're doing. And as you were saying earlier, it's not anxious. It's non-anxious at its core, because it is a deep abiding conviction that this is God's work and that nothing can actually stop God's work ultimately. And so our job is to refocus and recenter ourselves on Christ, not to obsessively focus on the culture around us and how we can transform or reach or whatever we think we're going to do with missions. So I think that recentering is at the heart of what he means by patience.
Yeah. And to take it back to some of Christ's parables and analogies of Paul to evangelism, is you plant a seed and then you water it,
mm-hmm.
and God causes the growth.
Yeah.
And you can't speed up growth like that.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about this in future episodes, but there's definitely a sense in which if we're going to go this route, we have to unlearn some ways of doing and being church. And that's going to be humbling for us. And I guess I'm under the, I'm convicted right now that the church across the U.S. is going to have to go that route, or it's going to rush its way into oblivion. And I think that's what we don't want. So hopefully we'll learn the way of patience.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist Podcast. Tune in next week where we continue our discussion of the patient ferment of the early church.